Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 15th. It's 5 minutes after 10. This is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Are you ready, Rob? This is your time to shine.
Oh, how exciting. Thank you,
we're going to talk about the Masters and how Scottie Scheffler won by 4 shots to slip into that green jacket, second time in 3 years.
This was quite possibly the greatest Masters of all time. And what I mean by that is, take out the fact that I won betting on Scottie Scheffler. you had the course playing about as hard as it has ever played, especially when you take out the first day. You had basically perfect weather after the brief rain on Thursday morning. And then you had Sunday with some of the best, the biggest names in the entire world playing at a very high level going into the back nine at or near the lead. And the best part about all of this from just a pure course perspective was the anybody who's ever watched the Masters knows that course, that tournament does not start until the second shot on nine on Sunday. And if you looked at, there were three guys tied for the lead when Scheffler and Morikawa hit their second shots at number nine on Sunday. And then it was a complete NASCAR train wreck for everybody not named Scottie Scheffler after the second shot on nine. It was just like, it was everything the Masters is supposed to be, and it played out perfectly. And then you factor in the fact that it was Vern Lundquist's final Masters. He's this legendary CBS commentator, some of the most famous calls, not just in the history of golf or the history of the Masters, but in sport period, have been done by Vern Lundquist. And this incredibly emotional farewell as Tiger Woods is walking to the tee box, and he sees Vern Lundquist standing behind a tree and he shakes. And you've probably seen the memes now of the, it looks like the tree is shaking Tiger Woods' hand. That was phenomenal. It was just the absolute, from a golf perspective, the Masters perspective, it was just like the perfect weekend and one of the best Masters of all time.
So Scottie Scheffler became the 18th player to win the Masters multiple times. He is also the fourth youngest to achieve that, behind Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Ballesteros. And here is the moment that Scottie Scheffler won the Masters.
His stardom confirmed.
Imagine, I mean, do you think he was feeling the pressure, or was he feeling relief at that moment? Because he was going into that in the lead, and it was just like, just don't mess this up. Just don't mess this up. Just put it in and you're done, and then you can celebrate.
Well, a couple things. So number one, the immense popularity of the Masters, and we try to always lead our hours based on things that are kind of the predominant stories in society. The Masters is now far bigger than a golf tournament. It is this international destination. You look at the ratings, were phenomenal for this thing. And a big part of it was because Tiger was involved. Tiger was playing well the first couple days. But the Masters now itself is a destination type of event. It's one of these things where people who don't engage in the sport itself will engage in that thing because of the lure and the history and all of these other things. And while the U.S. Open is the nation's championship, the Masters is probably the most famous golf tournament in the world. And so when you look at what Scottie Scheffler is doing right now, Scottie Scheffler is the most dominant golfer since Tiger Woods in his prime. What he is doing right now, he's lapping the field. He's clearly the best player. He's playing the best. And when everybody else, you get an idea, everybody else crumbled around him, and he was just steady Eddie and was making birdies and was just doing things his way. It is, you are seeing a very rare air of golf. And so it was a great, to have so many people who are not normally affiliated with the sport to see that, because the majors, you still get all the live guys back, obviously, like guys like DeChambeau were involved and near the leaderboard. And so it was a great display for the game of golf to have all of those things work well on arguably the most viewed golfing event of the year.
I was wondering if you were bummed by the way DeChambeau played.
Like, no, I bet on Scottie Scheffler.
Okay, so you're okay with it?
DeChambeau annoys me, and we've been through this many times. It is like, and I was joking with somebody because there were other people were saying, oh, DeChambeau. I said, DeChambeau will make an eight at some point, and it will cost himself the tournament. And he did. It wasn't an eight, Casey, but it was a seven on 15 on Sunday, and that was the end of him. Now, I did want to say something about Scottie Scheffler. So, Scottie Scheffler, obviously, is the best golfer in the world. He's playing the best. But one of the stories of the week was his wife is expected to give birth within the next week. And I know, as somebody whose baby decided not to come on time, the due date doesn't mean anything, right? Like, that baby's going to come when that baby's going to come. And all week long, they had asked him, they had said, because he was at the top of the leaderboard from the very beginning, they said, will you leave if indeed your wife goes into labor? And he said, I will leave up to the moment I hit my tee shot on Sunday at the Masters. Now, they don't allow phones at the Masters, so I don't know how they would have even gotten a hold of him once the round started. But when you hear that from somebody who has this, they spend their whole lives around this profession, and they spend his whole life since he was a little boy doing this, and the willingness to give that up, the willingness to sacrifice that for the birth of your child, that is, that tells you a lot about him and about who he is as a human being. And that makes you want to root for someone like that who has all this success and is making all this money. And at the end of the day, that is not even a distant second. It's about eighth compared to his wife and his child.
Right.
And we need more people like that being front and center as celebrities and focal points of our society.
After he won and his sisters were there and his parents were there and he was hugging his family, I thought, come on, cut away to the wife, cut away to the wife. And I thought it was a missed opportunity by the broadcast.
She wasn't there, Casey.
No, I know. I wanted them to cut live to where she was at her house.
Well,
like,
you know. Casey, as someone who's been 9 months pregnant, you probably didn't want a camera on you either.
Didn't want to be on camera. No, absolutely. Not.
I do want to say two more things, then we get off and go to something else. After the win, Scottie Scheffler, and he was very gracious. He said, look, I just want to get out of here, but I'm going to answer all your questions. I want to get home. But one of the things he was very front and center about was his faith and his faith in Jesus Christ. And I know we've got some audio of that. This is the most important thing Scottie Scheffler did all week.
So I'm hoping it doesn't define me too much because I feel like I say it a bunch. Golf's something that I do. It's a tremendously huge part of my life, but it doesn't define me as a person. It's just something that I do, and I happen to be good at it some weeks. And, you know, I come in here and you guys ask all nice questions, and then the next week I'm bad at it, and then some of the questions are viewed more negatively. And that's just kind of the ebb and flow of competing in front of people all the time. Yeah, I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. Ultimately, I think that's what defines me the most.
He talked multiple times about his faith and his faith in Jesus Christ. And look, this stuff really hit home for me because there was a time where what I did here was my life. Like, this was the most important thing, and I would work 12 hours, and I would do that every single day, and my success lived or died based on how well I did here. Not just here, but radio jobs I had before. And having become a father and sort of, you know, rededicated myself to my faith, this hit home with me because this guy, one of the reasons he's so good is because he has perspective on it. And one of the reasons he doesn't choke under pressure is because he has perspective on it. And his perspective is, no matter what, I have my place in eternity already set because of my faith. And no matter what happens here, I have my wife and my soon-to-be beautiful baby to come home to. And he's just a dude out playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't feel pressure the way those other guys feel pressure. He's just hitting shots and making putts. And part of when you have your perspective on life, whether you're a professional golfer or you're a plumber or you're an electrician or all points in between, when you have your perspective right on life and you have your priorities right, there's a good chance everything else is going to fall into place. And that is faith and that is family. And then if you want to make your career a distant third, fine, but you'll probably be a lot better at your career once you have your priorities straight.
Well, and he mentioned, when I'm playing good, you guys are being nice to me and ask friendly questions. And when I'm having an off day, the questions aren't as nice. I mean, he realizes that when he's popular and being successful, that there are hangers-on who want to be around him, but that's not his inner circle. I thought it was really nice when he let his caddy Ted Scott walk back to the clubhouse in front of him, kind of acknowledging, hey, I didn't do this alone.
They estimate his caddy has made $1.2 million this year on caddying for him, which would make him like 54th on total money on the PGA Tour. It's phenomenal how much money his caddy has made. I did want to say one other thing, and this was by far my favorite Masters that I have ever watched for one very specific reason, and it is because it is the first time I ever got to watch the Masters with my child.
Did she like it?
She slept through most of it, but she was up during part of it. Uh-huh. And I will tell you, and you know this, Casey, because you've been a parent. There are things as you prepare to be a parent in your life, as you work through your life, and you anticipate having children, you always say, I wonder what this will be like. And my dad and I, for many, 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 many years, have always watched Sunday at the Masters together. And I've always wondered, like, what would it be like to watch the Masters with a child of my own? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there at one point, I'm sitting on the couch, we're sitting there, my dad's sitting next to me, and I'm watching her, and she's playing with these little foam shapes. And I'm just watching her do this, and I just, like, was taken aback by, I can't believe this is real. And there was a big point in my life where I thought it was never going to happen. And it was so special to be able to sit there and be able to do it. And it kind of just brings it all in perspective, full circle, about what Scottie Scheffler was talking about. Mm-hmm. There are things that are far more important in life than golf. There are things that are far more important in life than your career. And this guy is super successful, and I think more people will be much more successful if they get their priorities straight.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
That is the most true thing ever, right?
Trees, sunshine, just about everything. And appropriate because we're talking about someone who's running for governor who has finally come up with a plan for property taxes, and that is Eric Doden.
So Eric Doden, obviously one of the kind of second-tier people, if you believe the polling, Mike Braun with a somewhat sizable lead, and then it's sort of Crouch, Doden, and Chambers kind of in that fighting for second place, has a new ad out where he talked about property taxes. And it is, look, on one hand, you look at the guy and you give him credit, say, hey, at least it's something. And at least someone is finally running some sort of ad with some sort of concrete something. However, mm-hmm. It is like the most mealy-mouthed, weak plan possible, which tells you the fact that it's coming out in mid-April. And the guy is doing, it appears, as little as possible to pigeonhole himself, which is totally directed basically at seniors and fixed income people. You look at this crop of candidates, and this is what's so depressing and so, I think, frustrating for people. Here's the best analogy I can come up with, because property taxes are the issue. Survey after survey shows it. These candidates all know it. It is as if you called the doctor and you say, you go to your doctor and you say, I have this very serious ailment. And you go to the doctor and the doctor, you know, asks you questions and takes a look at you and does an examination and goes, yeah, you've definitely got this very serious ailment.
No kidding.
And then the conversation ends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next logical step is you say to the doctor, hey, you're the medical professional. What are you going to prescribe me, or what is our plan mm-hmm. to attack this issue that you as the professional are telling me very clearly exists? And the doctor just goes, I hope you get some help with that.
Good luck with that.
You're saying you, Mr. Doctor or Mrs. Doctor, are the person who's supposed to help me with that. That's what our politicians are doing with property taxes. Every single one of these people running for governor has acknowledged, it's not like this is in dispute. Every single one of our politicians in the House and Senate are acknowledging property taxes are out of control. But they're the doctor who looks at you and acknowledges the disease or the ailment that you have and then just walks out the door without offering the prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to actually address the issue, and it is crushing people.
Okay, so Eric Doden said, let's rein in property taxes and cap them for seniors so they can stay in their homes where they belong. And he goes on to say in the ad that and he's talking about previous politicians, they've proven they can't fix the problem, but I will. But here's the caveat. caveat. He's only talking about one segment of the population.
Yes. And look, middle income people are getting crushed. And it's fine and nice that the fixed income and old people are going to be helped under his plan. I think that's great. But everybody should be helped. And this is where, and we talked about this, well, I guess it would have been 2 years ago when you first got here, when mm-hmm. they passed this plan. Remember 2 years ago, oh, this will help. It hasn't helped at all. Like, we told you it wasn't going to help. The thing that the Republicans passed in 2022 didn't help because the makeup of how property taxes are levied and collected is mortally flawed. You cannot fix the problem trying to tinker with the existing system. The whole property tax, the platform is not the right word, but the whole property tax process, that's what I'm looking for, is mortally wounded. You cannot have somebody paying more taxes based on what somebody else did with their property. I mean, I told this story earlier. That lady down the street from mm-hmm. you, every 3 months tries to sell her home, has it back on the market again. And she had an open house over the weekend, and I see like two people going into that house, and I get in a cold sweat because if one of those people is stupid enough to buy that house at the price she has it listed as, which there's a sucker born every minute, and maybe they will, then my taxes are probably going to go up because of what she's asking for that home. That's ridiculous, Casey. That is totally ridiculous. And every one of these politicians knows that that is ridiculous, that I am going to get punished for what somebody else making money.
Okay, and to your point, now this is analysis from the Association of Indiana Counties and Policy Analytics. They say that the value of homes has jumped 16.5% on average, but property taxes have increased 18.2% on average. So your property taxes are outpacing even the increased value of your home.
The value of your home means nothing until you intend to sell it. That idea that the value of the home stuff has always enraged me, because the value of your home is zero in terms of monetization until the moment you sell that home. The whole system is flawed. And look, I'm sure you're getting them. I'm sure Kevin is getting them. I'm getting these mailers from these candidates. And I'm not just talking about the governor candidates. Like, there's a state Senate race going on because mercifully John Crane is finally going to put me out of my misery of having to be represented by him. And he is retiring at the end of this year. And these two underachievers that are running to replace him are not spelling out any specifics on what they intend to do. They're sending these mailers out that just, I get physically angry when I see them. So-and-so, I'm not even going to say their names because I don't give them free publicity. So-and-so supports lowering taxes. Oh, really? Which ones? Because that's all I hear from the Republicans is so-and-so supports lowering taxes. Well, all we have in this state are Republicans, and all we get are more tax increases. It is infuriating, because when you press them on it, what happens is, now, in order to lower property taxes or fix the property tax flaw, you're going to have to go against local governments. You're going to have to go against these out of control school corporations. And they don't want to do that. And so you have all these Republicans who are going to get away with sending you mailers about how they want to lower taxes. And then the taxes will once again never be lowered.
Okay, so Eric Doden is saying that this is not a cap that he's proposing for seniors. It's not a full credit either.
But
they'll have to meet current obligations,
and they'll have
to come up with the plan.
This is the most mealy-mouthed, kicking and screaming, I only did this because I think there's political benefit to it. I'm only doing this because I want to be able to run an ad saying I'm doing something about property taxes. This is not going to fix anything. None of these candidates, this is amazing, Casey, the party of low taxes and limited government. I didn't make those rules. I didn't write that party platform. They wrote that party platform. The party of low taxes and limited government has a tax crisis on their hands, and not one of the candidates for governor will give you a solution to actually fix the problem for everyone. Mind blown.
Okay, one more thing before we get into break, and that is news about your former vice president and former governor, Mike Pence. He has a new job.
I bet it's not actually producing for society. Tell me what the job is.
He has accepted a teaching position at a Christian college in Pennsylvania.
Grove City College. Now, before everybody gets on me about that I was just mean to teachers, mm-hmm. Let me pause. I am saying uh-huh to that, that he's not going to be producing for society, because it is not like Mike Pence is going to be doing any actual work. He's not going to be like a real teacher who's, you know, grading term papers and counseling kids after class and, you know, making sure that everyone's up on their studies, or, you know, counseling the children if they're falling behind. We said this. How long do we say this? There is no way he will go work a real job. Mike Pence is always, you can count on very few things, but one thing you can always count on with Mike Pence is to get the most amount of money for the least amount of work possible, and he has found a way to do that.
They said that he will be a visiting fellow.
That's perfect, right?
A visiting fellow.
He's not a real teacher.
At the Center for Faith and Public Life.
My gosh, are there any bigger grifters in the Pence family? Are there any bigger grifters in the Pence family?
We've got your voicemails coming up. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
Number, if you'd like to get involved, 317-684-8444. Hot takes, opinions, or as our boss would say, insight is better than opinions.
Absolutely.
If you've got those, we encourage you to call and contribute. So let's get to your voicemails with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Can I just say something real quick before we start this?
Sure.
You mentioned our boss, mm-hmm. David Wood.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing about David, and it took me years to figure this out, is he is the most like level-headed person ever.
I know.
And that is, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you could be having the greatest ratings and just be the best and gangbusters, and he will go, that is a pretty good performance today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you could also just ruin everything, and he will go, perhaps we need some more insight into why that is happening.
You don't celebrate the highs too much, and you don't get down with the lows
too
much.
That's why he's
either.
In upper management.
That's why he's a really, really good boss, too. Okay, so this first phone call is about the governor's race here in the great state of Indiana, and a task for you, Rob.
Hey, Rob. Scott the nurse again. I don't need you to pick a governor candidate or who to vote for, but could you please rank them, or, you know, all of them that are running, so I can figure it out, because I'm getting conflicting information, and I don't know, you're the only expert I know who can filter through all the crap, and so I can get a better handle on who I should or shouldn't. I already know who I don't want, but if you could do that, and if you've already done that, I apologize. I don't get to listen every day sometimes because of work, but do that for me, will you? Do that for everybody. Thanks.
He wants you to rank the governor's candidates.
Boy,
I know.
Talk about a hard task.
Right?
I mean,
How about this? Zero.
Which one failed more than the other, less than the others?
Right?
I mean, look, here is what I will say, and this is totally on a protest because of the way she was treated. If the election were held today, if I had to vote today, I would vote for Rittenhour just on protest, mm-hmm. just of how bad the others have been and the fact they kicked her off the debate stage. But that's not necessarily because she's wowed me with her policy proposals or plans. I do think she probably has the most direct plans of anyone. I wanted to like Curtis, but his campaign has been so underwhelming. And somebody said this about Curtis the other day, and it's really true. Curtis is an A-plus on a lot of the social stuff. I mean, like, you look at his social proposals, and that's in his wheelhouse. But a big part of being good at politics or being a good campaigner is, and it's much like radio in the sense of, you know, I'd love to just talk about the Masters and, you know, pro wrestling and whatever else each day. You can't do that, right? You got to get outside of your comfort zone. You got to talk about things people want to hear about. And Curtis, his comfort zone is definitely not on the economic side of things. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that's the number one issue facing state of Indiana right now is the property taxes. He has no plan for that. He sat in here and said he wants to study it. That means you're looking at 2 years minimum before you'd even get a plan. So you can't be on board with that. I mean, you've got Chambers, who gave Holcomb an A at the debate. He has been Holcomb's right-hand man with the IDC. So if you like what's going on with the Republican Party and the big taxes and the big government and $500 million every 2 years go into the largest, wealthiest corporations in the world while you can't afford your house or gas, then I guess vote for Chambers. You've got Crouch, sort of the same thing. She hasn't even tried to distance herself from Holcomb. I mean, we have not heard her really. I mean, she came on here and kind of, pushed back against him, but not really.
Kind of. I think that was only after you said, really?
Well, she did say that was what it was interesting about Crouch was she said the government's too big, too inefficient, and taxed too high. Mm-hmm. But then when you were like, you are the government, mm-hmm. well, then she didn't really want any you've supported the guy who is the government. So how could in any sort of good faith vote for her? I mean,
it's kind of like they did that. Well, you are the they.
Right. And then you've got Braun, who the Braun one is the one that amazes me more than anybody else, because Braun has somehow managed to make himself largely immune from his own voting record, which blows my mind. Like, people do, and I think I told you, I had a long conversation on social media with somebody the other day who professes to be super conservative, and I believe they are, but, like, when he's voting for Braun, and they do not care what his voting record is, and you bring this up to them, and you're, but he voted for this, don't care, but I voted for this, don't care. If you are with someone who is a serial cheater, and then you get in a relationship with that person, you do not have the right to be outraged if that person cheats on you like they did everyone else.
You knew what you were getting into.
And with Mike Braun's entire voting record as both a state rep and a U.S. senator is for bigger, more expensive government. He voted for 40-plus tax increases in 2017, including the largest tax increase in the history of the state. He doubled down on it at the most recent debate, which means he's proud of it, and he doesn't even know what he voted on because he didn't appear to know that it goes up every single year. If you want that as your government, that is Mike Braun. I don't know what else, but yet he appears, and he's totally a career politician. That's the other thing about Braun, is he has managed to stick himself with this outsider thing, and it's like, you were on school board, you were a state rep, you're a U.S. senator, now you want to be a governor. Mm-hmm. How is that an outsider?
That's not an outsider. I noticed something interesting over the weekend. Yesterday, I was out in Hendricks County, went to, I think it's called McCord State Park.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of Mike Braun big signs when I was out.
Look, it appears Braun, unless something dramatically changes in the final couple weeks, whether he wins by 10 points or 5 points or 20 points, mm-hmm. is going to be the Republican nominee for governor. And if Mike Braun is the Republican nominee for governor, then you better be prepared for business as usual. Casey, can you tell me, you watch this very closely like I do, mm-hmm. can you tell me one concrete proposal that we know Mike Braun supports the gas tax going mm-hmm. up? We know mm-hmm. that. He has mm-hmm. said that he supported that. Even though he doesn't know what he voted on, he says he supports that. Can you tell me one concrete policy that Mike Braun has that is going to reduce taxes or the size of government in the state of Indiana?
Gosh, no, I just keep thinking of all the attack ads I see against him.
It's unbelievable. And people are going to vote for that. And then people are going to be outraged when property taxes don't get fixed. And this is where it's very frustrating for me, because all we can do is give people the information. That's all we can do. We can give you the information, and what you do with that information is 100% up to you. And if you choose to ignore the information that we give you and then vote for the guy who did all these things, you don't get the right to be angry. It's like Todd Young. We had this same conversation with people about Todd Young 2 years ago, and now people are outraged at Todd Young. Mike Braun is a tax inspector. So, Dan, I realize I didn't even really answer that guy's question.
So back to the ranking?
I guess it's Rittenhour by default, but by protest. Okay. Does that help? I don't know.
All right, let's move on to another phone call, and this one is about the Masters.
Rob, I got a bone to pick with you, the Southside Tom, and you know how I think the world of you, and I kind of get the feeling it's mutual, and thank you very much. I'm watching right now the Masters. Normally, I wouldn't watch this thing, but we have the joy of the big screen television, and your talk this week's got me hooked on it. The grass needs to be cut. I got chores to be done, and I am totally transfixed by, at this moment, about 4:45 mm-hmm. in Sunday afternoon, there's this tie going on. Mm-hmm. So I just want to tell you, thank you for giving me another bad habit. It's bad enough I just went through all the basketball, and I'm an auto racing junkie. Mm-hmm. And now you got me hooked on something else.
You know, my dad and I were talking about this yesterday, and I think one of the things that's so special about the Masters is, so like, it was Vern Lundquist's final Masters. Mm-hmm. He had done 40. He had done some of the most famous calls in the history of golf. And, you know, they did, the Masters did this great tribute to Vern Lundquist before the event started, and it, like, got me emotional watching it. And one of the great things about the Masters is, now, they've changed the course a little bit over time. They've lengthened it because the players are better, et cetera. But you see shots hit that I recognize that I've been watching guys hit these shots for 30 years now, And I'm watching guys hit shots that my dad, when he was a young man, watched guys hit in the 1970s. And now I can mark time based on that I have my own child where my dad was watching guys hit shots when he was 40 years old, mm-hmm. right? And I was sitting there with him watching it. And it's just this, there's no other event in golf or really sport period where you mark time and you understand every shot that's hit because something great or something monumental or something important has happened on that hole and you know it immediately when you get there. It's just the best.
We do have more phone calls we're going to get to next hour, but you had mentioned Vern Lundquist and Tiger Woods paying respects to him.
That was awesome.
Yeah, well, here is this moment where you've got Vern talking about Tiger and then Tiger talking about Vern.
So many memorable occasions here. Most noticeably, this guy named Tiger in 2005. He is to be reactive. You can't anticipate. You've got to react as the fan would react. That's the genesis of what I said at Tiger's Chip Shop.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
I think people at home are saying, I've never seen that in my life. But I'd never seen it.
I've heard that call a couple times. That's what I grew up watching, listening to Vern. He has just an amazing ability to narrate in a way that is poetic. He just draws the audience in.
Have they announced who will be replacing him?
No, I don't think so. And here's what I'd say about Vern Lundquist. So Vern Lundquist was on Tiger's Chip In at 16 in 2005, which everybody remembers that. It's where he hits the chip and it goes sideways and comes down and then it literally stops on the hole. I don't know what Nike paid. I don't know what Nike paid to have that happen, but that Nike logo is there. And then it, of course, drops in and he goes on to win the tournament. But he also called in 1986 the very famous, I mean, Jack Nicklaus was this old kind of forgotten golfer, and he has this incredible charge at 46 years old over the final five or six holes to win the Masters. And the most famous shot that lives on from that was he makes this putt at 17, which is this incredibly hard putt, and it's Vern Lundquist going, maybe, yes, sir. And they, I mean, here we are almost 40 years later, and that is still
right.
And Vern Lundquist had both of these calls. And then people also forget that Vern Lundquist had the call when Christian Laettner hit the shot against Kentucky in 1992, the famous half court or, you know, ball thrown the length of the floor and he catches at the free throw. That was Vern. I mean, what a life that guy has lived. And it was so cool to see Tiger and him embrace.
Yeah.
And now I love that it's now a meme because it looks like the tree is shaking hands
right.
with Tiger Woods.
Give each other the respect that they.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, what a week, Casey. Yeah. What a week.
Okay, we've got Hammer who's going to join us on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Good morning, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hammer joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. We're halfway home.
Yeah, ticket update.
So Tales from the Track, presented by our friends at Relay Indiana, our big event that we've got coming up with Scott Dixon, Monday, May 20th, race week. We are over 55% tickets sold. So I'm thinking there's around 90 tickets left. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to the event, don't wait. These things have only been on sale for a couple of days, and already we are getting closer and closer to that sellout point. So buy your tickets right now on the events page, WIBC.com, or pinned to our social media. Hotel Tango Distillery can hook us up with some spirits that night.
Did you see Casey tried to hook up with Chuck Pagano over the weekend?
I did, and we can talk about how like she was totally throwing her shot at Chuck Pagano with her husband there. That's a
that's my favorite part.
Different part. But the first thing that I thought of was, as a dude, there's nothing better than bellying up at the bar by yourself.
Thank you.
And then now you've got some woman and her husband coming up bothering
thank you.
Like, you've been in this game long enough to know better than that.
No, we had a long conversation about that. And I said, you know, do you think he'll be bothered if I go say hi?
Yes.
The dude was like, I don't know. I think he's just trying to enjoy himself, watch the Masters. And so we went back and forth on it for about 10 minutes. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going for it.
So that hold
and
on, stop
I left
right
the
there.
Dude.
No.
I left the dude to go hang out with Chuck.
There's only two people in this conversation. So you're saying we went back and forth. That meant you were hell-bent on going to bother Chuck Pagano because the dude had it right. Yeah. He's like, no, just let him be. Let him watch the Masters. Well, we were going back and forth. You were going back and forth.
You know what? I did see another guy and his son approach Coach. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'm not the only one. Other people were doing
it. You work in media. You're also probably the person that would cheer in the press box or ask for an autograph if you had a credential. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm embarrassed for you, and you should have listened to the dude.
And I bet the other, here's the
he
other
was
thing.
So nice, though, and I asked him. I said, is it rude, like, you know, do you want me to leave you alone? And
you asked
like,
Chuck that?
Yes, I did.
Well, what's he supposed to say? Kick rocks?
He could have. I mean, he's a football coach. He's used to telling people what to do, right? He could have said, get out of here.
Oh my gosh,
leave me alone.
Are you being serious right now?
Yeah. Yeah, he could have.
I'm embarrassed for you.
No, you're not. You're jealous.
No, I've met Chuck. It's not that big of a deal. You're embarrassing.
No,
okay, wait.
No.
But you said the father and son went up and they just like said, hello, hey, you know, we're big Colts fans or you did a great job.
Yeah, they talked for a couple minutes.
And then left. Mm-hmm. You were there for 30.
Right. And you wouldn't leave. He just wants to watch TV, be alone, have some beverages, reflect on his time in Indy, you know, raised $1 million for cancer research over the weekend.
Yeah.
And here comes some floozy and her husband that won't leave him alone.
He enjoyed it. He enjoyed the conversation.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, where are we at on the Barstool guy claiming he made all this money betting sports? Because he's not mentioning all the money that he lost during, like, the NCAA tournament and the bowl game series.
So his big bet. Bets look like they paid off, and that can bail you out of a lot of bad
no doubt.
Bets.
But he's conveniently, Portnoy is claiming, $5.4 million
right,
that
in
he
4
made.
Months.
But he's not mentioning all the money that he lost in the league. I feel like that's very misleading.
It's kind of like parlay guy, right? So everybody always talks about, I hit this 5-leg parlay and I won $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. Everybody's got that one friend that brags about their parlay win, but that same friend never tells you how many parlays they lost. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they in the hole for the year?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, there is nothing better, though, that when you and I are in a bet together and we win, and it was nice, because I know you're not super golf guy, but I can just tell you, it was so fun those 4 days that we were cheering for Scottie Scheffler together.
It was, and I want to weigh in on something you talked about earlier, the reverse jinx.
Yeah.
This is a thing, right? And I do this too.
Because Portnoy was very mean to Scottie Scheffler Saturday and Sunday.
Right. You never openly cheer or say good things are going to happen
is
for your
bad
guy
luck?
Because it's bad luck.
Wow.
And how many times have I ripped you for calling something before it's happened,
that's
right?
That's a good point.
So, yeah, I'm a big reverse jinx guy.
What's coming up this afternoon?
We've got Monday Gun Day with Guy Relford. We also have got more updates on Tales from the Track. Two very important anniversaries today. FedEx Massacre, Boston Massacre. We'll talk about them both.
Thanks, Hammer. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.